This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hello, Greg and Dave. How are you on the day before the day before the day before the Redskins play the Chiefs day?
Oh, I'll go one. Hello, Grant and Dave. How are you on when Danny wasn't quite ready to do a Hello, Grant and Dave day?
Day. Your Beltway Blitz at noon each day at this time, covering the three teams in town you care the most about. We're going to cover the Redskins, the Nationals, and Maryland football. Another quarterback injury to deal with for the Terps.
Man.
Speaking of quarterbacks, Kirk Cousins through three games looking pretty statistically. We'll break it all down. How is his quest for a massive deal coming after three contests as he approaches the quarter pole? That's at 12:18. Let's kick off the Blitz. Chris Russell joins us on 106.7 The Fan. Russell, a lot more balance, a lot more run into the football, and a lot more success on offense. I know you're happy about that. Can Kansas City be had up front, do you think?
Yeah, I think they can because they're an aggressive front. They'll get after it. They lost on Terry Poe in free agency. Of course, they brought in Benny Logan from the Philadelphia Eagles, who is a guy that the Redskins are familiar with. I forgot the numbers, but I think they I think they've given up a couple of big runs so far already this year. It got pushed around a little bit. I think it's going to be difficult, but I think the Redskins, and you guys know where I'm going to go with this. I know it's not just the pure numbers. I got it. I understand they got to convert on third down. I got it. I understand they got to be successful, but I think they're going to have to run because that place, I've never been there, but I've watched a ton of football games there. That place rivals Seattle in terms of loudness and in terms of getting your signals and your silent tone. And I just fear a lot of false starts and being behind the chain. So they're going to have to run and run effectively to kind of quiet that crowd down a little bit and stay out of those second and first and 15s.
Yeah, I want to congratulate the Chicago Bears on running the ball so well. Don't even need to check the scoreboard. We know that they had balance, which means they won. Russell, give me an analysis here. How do you stop this Kansas City offense? That's what's so special about this group. Their defense is good. We know they can do it. It's a lot of misdirection. It's a lot of making a guy's assignment sound, and they're so speedy and quick. And Alex Smith's delivering the football. Great ball handler. What's the biggest challenge?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you talk about misdirection and end-arounds and jet sweeps and all that. The Redskins have historically done a bad job, but they've done a pretty good job so far when teams have kind of, thrown some of that stuff at them. Think back to the Rams. They did a pretty decent job there. Think back to the one that Kerrigan swallowed up against Oakland and Cordarrelle Patterson last Sunday night. So I think the real big thing is going to be making sure some of that trickery, some of that, non-traditional view stuff stays within your grasp, that you set the outside edge, that you pin them back and funnel them back in. Because as you guys have talked about on the show, and I completely agree, and I've said over and over and over again, this is the number one reason why the Redskins defense is better. It's not Minuski necessarily. It's that they have so much better speed that they can, when guys funnel back, they can catch up and gang tackle and surround them.
Slash Arena, a lot of people don't know this about you, but you were actually a mushball scout for 3 years in Chicago before moving to the area. I want you to tell me, who's got the better team we just drafted, me or Danny? My draft, I went Sundberg 1-1, Doug Kammerer, who played college baseball, who's a weather guy at Channel 4. I got Frank Hanrahan, who's a sneaky, solid athlete. I got Johnny Cakes Allville for some team morale. Then I got Barry Sferluga of the Washington Post. Nobody knows more about the game than him. Danny, who you got?
Will Montgomery, because I didn't get the first overall pick. It would have been our buddy Nick Sundberg. I went Will round one, pick two. Kedrick Golston, Santana Moss, handsome television gentleman Brody Logan, and our own Brendan Dar is going to produce this thing for us.
Here's the thing. I'm going to go Grant slightly because, as you point out, Danny, it was completely unfair that he sabotaged you into that number one overall pick. I mean, I really thought after making all the announcements, Grant was going to acquiesce. and allow his co-host to have the number one pick.
We did it very fair.
It was fair.
We did a weird thing where Danny put fingers behind his back, and we had to choose one.
Yes, odd or even. It's a very standard thing. I just didn't have that in King George.
I heard the whole bit, but I love you, but I mean, just as an equity partner in the show,
yeah.
I would have yielded the floor to the gentleman to your right.
What did he do to earn the first pick? Why wouldn't you do it up for grabs for fair? Flip a coin,
well,
do something like that?
Because you took Sundberg, who is the only active professional athlete on that list, correct?
Yes. I actually thought about taking Will Montgomery for the record. I don't know if I made the right choice or not. Reeny, thank you, buddy.
Thank you, guys.
Appreciate you. You were sleeping on Will Montgomery. That guy played high school basketball in a state championship game. I think he played baseball at some point. I'll bet you he's going to carry your team.
Nobody's sleeping on Will Montgomery. Happy to have him on the squad. Happy to have him.
Let's talk a little baseball. Byron Kerr covers the Washington Nationals, joins us in studio on the Blitz. BK, Alejandro Deaza had the big hit last night. Dusty was talking him up. Sounds like a guy that's going to be on the playoff roster to me.
Yeah, he's had a great week, and he has a lot of experience, but I don't know. I'm not really sold on that. I think Mike Rizzo loves to make the sexy splash, and it all depends on, you know, how much they think Bryce Harper's going to play, how much they think Jason Worth's going to play, Howie Kendrick hit some hamstring tightness last night. I'm still holding a torch for the possibility of Victor Robles, but it's been nice to see what Diaz has done recently. I just don't think he's going to be on the postseason roster. That's just an opinion.
Sean Doolittle blew his first save. I'm okay with that, actually. It's one of those weird things where after the game he talked about, you didn't throw it with a purpose. It was kind of on cruise control, and that's I almost like it better that he's 21 for 22 now instead of 22 for 22, and then the first time there's a faltering is in the postseason. Am I weird that I'm okay with that blown save last night?
No, that's exactly what he talked about. He said that, you know, this won't happen in the postseason because it happened tonight, and that, you know, instead of just throwing he won't just throw strikes when it comes to the postseason. He'll, as you said, he will throw with a purpose. So absolutely, that was a tweet I threw out there right after it happened as an oops, you know, but it's good to get this out of the way now. He is just the absolute perfection as a closer for this team, and they have three guys who can be closers, as we talked about. And, you know, I kind of think about Andrew Miller. I think about Kenley Jansen. And I think about mixing these guys up in different situations in the postseason and not just slotting them in the classic ninth inning hole and things like that. I think Brandon Kinstler and Ryan Madsen and Sean Doolittle will pay major dividends. And absolutely, 21 of 22 is perfect. Dusty Baker said, you know, maybe he can go on another streak of 21 and we can win the World Series. So that would work out perfectly.
That would be great. Your colleague at Masson is Mark Zuckerman, who I love and I think knows more about the Nats than anybody. He said, I think it was yesterday I heard him talking on the radio, he does not think it's a lock that Scherzer starts game one, that they could pitch Steven Strasburg. I think that would be insane.
Yeah, I mean, that's something. You know, he likes Diaza as well. You know, there's been even talk about putting Gio Gonzalez in the mix there, going righty, lefty, righty in the first three games against the Cubs and the way things set up. But no, this is Max Scherzer's game number one. Obviously, Strasburg is going tonight, and, you know, they're going to be 7 and 8 days between starts for some of these guys coming up for Friday, October 6th and Saturday, October 7th. But it just makes perfect sense for me to have Scherzer in game one because he is the ace and Strasburg is the 1A ace, and he would go Saturday. These are interesting ideas, certainly, Grant, to have these guys go righty, lefty, righty, or even have Strasburg as number one, only because Strasburg is pitching before Scherzer here at the end of the season. But they've got most likely a simulation game set up here next week where I would be interested to see if they might give Gio Gonzalez maybe an inning or two in there just to break up this 8 or 9 days off before game three.
Byron, certainly appreciate it, buddy.
Thanks for dropping
on, man.
Thank you.
Let's talk Terps. Jeff Ehrman covers the Terps inside Maryland Sports. Jeff, is anybody going to play quarterback for Maryland this weekend? Do they have somebody to play it?
I don't know. You guys have any eligibility left?
I do not. I can guarantee you that.
It's going to be Max Sportenschlager, barring a surprise. You know, they have DJ Durkin's left the window open, it seems like, maybe a little bit for Caleb Henderson, another guy who entered the season third or fourth on that depth chart. But yeah, two season-ending injuries in the first three games. It's a familiar sight and painful sight if you're a Maryland fan.
Minnesota this weekend. What do I need to know about that club?
Well, they're 3-0. They're putting up really good numbers, especially on the ground on both sides of the ball. Right now they're giving up the fewest yards, rushing yards in the country. So, you know, that obviously is an issue for a Maryland team that already was really strong on the ground and relied on that, and now, you know, really doesn't have a proven quarterback. At the same time, they really haven't played a tough schedule. They haven't played anybody of any real substance so far. They've played Buffalo, Oregon State, and Middle Tennessee State, blowing out the last two at a close game against Buffalo. But they look like they're pretty good. You know, it's going to be a test. Maryland's a 12.5-point underdog for a reason, partly obviously because of the quarterback situation. But this is going to be a tough one for them.
I just don't know where they go from here, just in terms of this, because Minnesota's tough. It's, you just feel so bad for these guys. What's the morale of the team like at this point? Just, it's got to be like, it's beyond here we go again. It's here we go again, and then again, and then again, and then a couple years later, here we go again and again. This is like a bad movie. It's a B-movie on USA up all night in the mid-90s. I can't believe, what are these guys dealing with at this point?
Yeah, having grown up in the 90s, I'm familiar with those. I think they're rallying around it. This weekend will kind of show. This is the kind of game where you typically see a team respond because they don't want to let things spiral out of control. You know, if something like this happens, you lose a few games and guys start to lose some of their willpower, then you see the blowouts. But I feel like this is a game where you'll see them, not to use a cliche, but lay it all out there. And in terms of the morale, I mean, they really, these guys who were there, the coaches and the players were not there when that crazy season happened with four quarterbacks going down and linebackers starting those games at quarterbacks. So, you know, they've seen some injuries, but they weren't there for the worst of it. That was before their time. But either way, to lose, you know, you go into the season with two guys who it turns out are really, you know, potentially really good quarterbacks, and to lose both of them in the first three games has got to be really hard to bounce back from.
Mike, thank you, buddy. We appreciate it. And good luck covering the game. Enjoy yourself this weekend.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
Thank you, Jeff.
Jeff Ehrman with us on Grant and Danny here on 106.7 The Fan. From Jeff and the Beltway Blitz to Kirk Cousins, through three games, how is the negotiation going so far for Cousins? He bet on himself. We'll get to that next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.